Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Our guest today is New York State Lieutenant Governor Robert Duffy, a Democrat who was elected alongside Governor Andrew Cuomo in 2010. Before serving as Lieutenant Governor, Duffy was first Chief of Police and then Mayor of Rochester. Lieutenant Governor Duffy, welcome to the program.
Alan, great to be here.
I guess what everybody wants to know is, what do you do? I mean, what does Lieutenant Governor do?
Well, I can't speak for Lieutenant Governors in the past, but I can tell you under Governor Cuomo, what you do is you go 100 miles an hour every day, and the job has been a pleasure. I travel around the state. I represent the governor. The governor has given me a portfolio of a number of things that have really been very exciting, the regional councils being one.
Why don't you explain that to everybody, because everybody may not be up to date on what they are.
One of Governor Cuomo's signature economic development plans is to have created 10 regional councils. There are 10 regions throughout the state. Long Island is one council, New York City is another, and you can go up to Finger Lakes, which is about 9 counties, and you can go geographically. It's been divided around the state. Each council is chaired by a university president or college president and a business CEO. They are made up of elected officials, business leaders, not-for-profit leaders, and the goal is to come up with a strategic plan for economic development in that region. And so I've been asked by the governor to chair each of those councils, which requires quite a bit of travel, but it has been exciting. It has been an incredible educational experience for me to go. And it is about grassroots economic development. It is decisions being made at the community level, going up to the governor. And the governor has pulled the veritable rabbit out of a hat 2 years in a row to award really a couple $100 million for these councils. And they do is they vote on projects. They assert their priorities by region. And it's all about creating jobs and economic vitality. So that's probably been the most significant and most time-consuming aspect of the job. But I'm here to serve the governor. And one thing I've learned in this job, I was elected with Governor Cuomo. I'm proud to serve with him. And I always say a good lieutenant governor is there to help the governor in any way that he needs.
Name one thing that comes out of that $200 million that you are very proud of.
Well, there's a number of things. If you look at, I'll give you an example. Hunts Point Market was the number one priority for New York City. It's the largest produce market in the country. It's right in the heart of the South Bronx. That is one of the signature projects for the regional council. A lot of money has been awarded. The city and the state have worked together. It is going to revitalize that market. It refurbishes it. It's tired. It needs work. But I was down there on site last year. It's a fabulous place. That's one huge investment right off the bat. And if I went around the state, BAE Systems in Binghamton, a company that does a lot of defense work, a lot of governmental work, was devastated by the floods of Hurricane Irene. They were getting ready to move and relocate because they did not want to be in the floodplain again. What we did through the council, and really thanks to the governor changed a policy as opposed to creating, giving incentives for jobs created. In that particular case, he applied the same incentives to keep those jobs from BAE Systems in the Binghamton area and Southern Tier. And that company stayed. Hundreds of employees, those jobs were kept. And had it not happened the way this worked, that company would have relocated those assets and those jobs probably out of state. And, you know, the list, I can go on for the whole show and give you examples of things. But the governor did this in HUD. He created a system of regional councils, regions, when he was the HUD secretary. And it has been an extraordinary economic development change. And there's been one victory after another. And what it really has done is created investor confidence in the state, for one. It's also created a sense of synergy and teamwork in the regions, because people in these councils, they may have known each other by name. I would venture a guess it's probably the first time they've ever worked together as a group. all these government entities, education entities, and higher education is one of the key economic drivers for our state anyway. They're at the table, they're planning, they're working together, they're prioritizing projects. It is a beautiful thing to see, and that's, again, it's one of the things the governor has given me in my portfolio, which I've loved. I'm a former mayor, I'm a local government person at heart, and to be on the ground with this kind of an effort, which I think is transformational for the state, and it's going to be a signature effort on behalf of Governor Cuomo and his legacy. It's been just a pleasure to do.
Well, there are a couple of things that come to mind for me to ask you about. Number one, you're very tall.
I'm shrinking with age. I'm down to 6'5".
6'5". That's very tall. Do you have to be tall to be a politician?
I don't think there's any height requirement. You have to be thick-skinned. I know that. And
does it help to be tall?
Well, you know what? I think one of the greatest things that have helped me in my career is being around people, being in a customer service mode, both in my police career and my mayoral career, where you serve people at the neighborhood city level. And that's really translating what the governor wants for the state is to have that same level of customer service statewide. So I think the most important thing is you have to love people, love your job, and love doing this. Whether you're tall or short, it probably does not help, although it does give me an advantage seeing over the crowd.
Do you play basketball, did you?
I played basketball in high school and college.
Play with him?
I've not played with the governor. No, I'm not yet, but I heard he was a pretty good ball player.
Well, his father used to play a lot, I know that. So you were a cop. Was being a police officer good training for being a politician?
Well, Alan, I had never planned on going into a political career. If you had talked to me many years ago, it would be the farthest thing from my mind. But being on the ground and serving in a police department in Rochester, I grew up in the city, so I had a passion for the city anyway. It gave me a perspective on life and death and what people are going through, some of the misery and pain people go through. And I'll speak for Rochester, some of the poorest neighborhoods in our city were some of the greatest people you'd ever want to meet. And I just have always had a passion for listening and trying to do things to help. And that job gave me a great opportunity. It was one that, you know, you make split-second decisions. I won't chronicle all the things I saw, but I saw an awful lot of death, an awful lot of senseless death in my career. Young kids with great hope, kids that are 16, 17, 18 that really had the world in the palm of their hands, made bad decisions, and often lost their lives in street-level violence. And then I saw those who faced the same circumstances but overcame that. And you really get a chance to see life at, I guess, it's most at the barest form on the street. And it gave me a perspective for this job, which is very helpful. And, you know, what I pride myself in is I don't care if you're a CEO or you're homeless. I will spend time and listen and try and follow through and help. And that was really the police career. And being a police chief was very helpful. I have two daughters who are absolutely beautiful, and it scared the boys away. So that was one of my careers that I'm not in it any longer, but it was very helpful back then. I can assure you of that.
Well, Governor Romney recently made some dismissive comments about those people on the lower end of the social scale. You've just said something which makes you run counter.
You know what? I consider myself somebody that's attached to the street. And as I said, Rochester is a contrast like many cities. You have great affluence. You have great poverty all rolled into one. You have graduation rates, which fluctuated between 38% and 50%. Unacceptable. But those kids who did not graduate from high school often were the ones who ended up incarcerated or in other areas that really were not what they expected. And as I said before, one of the things that I just have always felt very strongly about, and people's stage in life, be they successful or not so successful, is not a reflection of who they are. I saw some of the greatest character, people that had nothing, that gave everything they had, or what little they had, other people to help. I mean, things that just, it gave me just an incredible opportunity to understand human nature. And I'm the eternal optimist, and I believe the governor is as well. I'm not a pessimist. I think that the human spirit is something that you never can underestimate. And again, I would never disparage anybody for their economic stage in life. It's something sometimes they can't help. They work hard. They can't, a person that makes minimum wage, sometimes if their car breaks down, it's devastating. Sure. If you're making $200,000 a year, you just take it to the repair shop. But if you are at a point where you can't afford that, and another area is prison reentry, which I was always very passionate about, is mostly young men coming out of prison. If you do not find a place for these folks to work, and I don't believe they want to go back to prison, and while recidivist rates are fairly high, often in the 80s, if you ask them face to face, they would tell you they don't want to go back. They want a job where they can have an apartment, buy food, survive. And sometimes those jobs are hard to come by.
So what'd you do about it?
Well, we had reentry programs. As a mayor, we had programs where we had young men coming out of prison that were trained in heavy equipment licensing, were trained in machine shop skills. And I went to two of the classes and two of the graduations personally, and we had people that thought that these kids wouldn't show up the second day. These young men, right out of prison, came. They were early at their desks, 5 minutes ahead of time. They wanted to work, and I had one kid. And I was a police chief. I remember this one incident where we had a shooting at a daycare center. I remember being the chief, running out of my office, going down to the shooting on the northeast part of our city. This young man was the shooter. He went away for 7 or 8 years in state prison, came out. He was in one of those classes. He graduated. He worked hard. He's still working. And one of the things that struck me at the graduation ceremony, which was probably a 30-minute-long ceremony, we gave out certificates, his grandparents came from South Carolina, drove, because that was the first positive thing they saw in that child. So I thought, no, those things, it kind of gives you inspiration to go on to the next. And you see what happens when people are given an opportunity.
So when you see Governor Romney making remarks about lack of ambition, lack of decency...
I learned one thing, Alan, never generalize with anybody. You cannot paint anybody with a stroke of a brush that you know, 47 or 50% of the people are out there wanting to feed off of government. There are people that do, but you know, for the most part, you have a lot of people that sometimes don't have the opportunity, the education. I believe one of the greatest opportunities for us is to increase graduation rates. I had a meeting with Governor Cuomo last week. One of Governor Cuomo's passions is looking for ways to bring services to increase graduation rates across our state. Kids who graduate from high school hopefully can go on to college, into a trade, and get a job. They have an opportunity. If you walk out of school in the 9th, 10th, or 11th grade, there's not much available for you. So I think there are certain pressure points I think we have to focus on. And again, you'd never hear it coming out of my mouth or the governor's mouth. Governor ran HUD for all those years. HUD is just a lifeline to cities across this country. And for the most part, it focuses on affordable housing, people that really need that help along the way. And I used to use this example when I was a mayor. You know, sometimes when people are down, they have a lot of hands and feet in their back keeping them down. And I found in my career, if you take some of those hands and feet off their backs, they'll get up by themselves. You don't have to pull them up. They'll be able to get up on their own if they're given a chance and maybe take some of those pressures off. And education, jobs, and opportunities for work, I think, are the key. And I would venture a guess for all those people that may be disparaged as not wanting to work, if they had an opportunity to go out and work at a decent job tomorrow, 99% would jump at it.
We're getting a lot of people who are calling in here during our fund drives. We hear from them about the fracking issue. I wonder if you could tell us where the administration is now.
The governor has done an intense research process on this. Certainly, it is not a secret. It's a very controversial issue. What Governor Cuomo has wanted from day one is to let science rule in the end. He has done an extraordinary job trying to reach out to people. DEC, Commissioner Martens, has been at the forefront of this. You have very strong feelings for and against, but you have a governor who not only is about creating jobs, but also very passionate about the environment. Just in recently made a huge purchase of land in the Adirondacks. There have been no decisions yet, no decisions yet. I'm not expecting one in the very near future either. But when a governor makes a decision, I think it's going to be after an exhaustive research effort to make the right decision. And he has not indicated what that will be yet. There are areas of the state that want this hydrofracturing process for gas and jobs. There are areas of the state that do not want it. But, you know, we've listened, and certainly the governor's listened. There are strong voices on both sides. But anyone that knows Governor Cuomo, they know, first of all, his environmental background and what he believes in. He's a, you know, avid outdoorsman, fisherman. I mean, it's water and fish, and we just... 2 weeks ago, we went on a whitewater rafting trip. I was with the governor and some members of our team. We had a great time. Governor's fishing and, you know, loving the outdoors. He appreciates what we have, the beauty of our state. He vacations the Adirondacks quite a bit. He loves it up there, brings his kids. And he's also very passionate about jobs. So in the end, I think that whatever the governor's decision is in the end, it's going to be what he feels is the best decision for the state. And it may be a decision that's based geographically. It may be a decision that is very definitive. I don't know. It's not something that he has shared because he has not made that decision yet. And when he's ready, he will announce that.
Why is it taking so long?
I think the enormity of the issues with this process are that. I would certainly have an issue if this decision was made quickly. This is not the speed of the decision is not what's important. It's the right decision is the one that's most important. And you have a governor who listens. I mean, he has listened very, very carefully and passionately to both sides. And he has the courage to stand up for what he believes in and a courage to make a decision that may anger some, whichever way it goes. But in the end, I think that what I would just say to people that whichever decision is made, it has been one of the most intense, exhaustive research efforts to gather all the information before he makes that. And that's what you would expect from a leader.
The governor was instrumental in putting together a package for the first time in which all of the various parts of government came under one commission, Jay Cope, which I have unfortunately, from your perspective, referred to as Jay Joke every once in a while. Governor says it's the best he could do. Right now, there is a tremendous investigation going on of whether or not two women should have been compensated for having been sexually put upon by one of the assemblymen, Vito Lopez. I wonder if you can give us some insight into what's going on the inner chambers.
Well, in terms of Jay Cope, I think if the governor was here, he would tell you that he worked very hard to put a body in place for oversight. And there's negotiations with the legislature that goes into making that happen. But the one thing I just would say, everybody's well aware of the issue with the assembly member. And what the governor has asked for from the start is a thorough investigation. Jay Cope has begun issuing subpoenas. And I think the most important thing is let the investigation take its course and see where it goes.
Yeah, but the fact is that there was a recalcitrance on their part to make a full investigation. The governor said, what we'll do is, if you don't want to do a full investigation, we're going to do a Moreland Act commission, which will do the work here.
Well, so, I think anyone that knows Governor Cuomo, going back to his time as Attorney General and his time as governor, he is about accountability. He's about justice. And clearly, he wants the facts to come out. What I've been really most pleased and impressed with the governor on a number of issues is that I've been around political figures who try and put their finger in the air and gauge which way the wind is going. Governor Cuomo is not like that. He is very clear in terms of what he wants and what he expects. He is not afraid of the political fallout of standing up for what's right. And he has asked for a full investigation. The subpoenas are going out. The facts, I don't know. I mean, one thing I've said in previous interviews on this is I know what I've read, and certainly I think there is great cause for concern in terms of what has been read. But I've learned in my life and my previous careers, let due process take its course. People are innocent until proven guilty. And sometimes what comes out initially in the press is not borne out with facts when you're testifying under oath. And I think the investigation has to take place. I believe if the governor felt the investigation was inadequate, I think you'd see him step in and take stronger positions. But he wants to see where this goes. He's going to allow the process to take its course. He has some very, very good people on Jay Cope, some very strong people. And this is going to be a great test case for it. And I think the most important thing is let's wait for the results to come out. And I'm not sure what the time frame is on those, but I've been around enough cases and investigations in my time to know that sometimes what I think is going on or what's happening initially sometimes changes when people are under oath and all the facts come out. It could not be as bad. It could be far worse. We don't know, but we'll know at the end.
So how tough guy is this administration? In other words, I ask you that because I remember this guy, Steve Cohn, who no longer works for the administration, but who apparently told, it was in the papers, so you have to believe it, the governor of Connecticut, we operate at two speeds, go along or get dead or whatever you said. Is that how you guys operate?
No. Steve Cohen, who was a great member of our team, was our former secretary, a great guy, great sense of humor.
The head guy.
He was a predecessor to Larry Schwartz.
Yeah.
And Steve's a great guy. I don't mind speaking very openly about what I see with the governor because I've been around him enough. The governor is, when he has to be, can be very tough and very strong. And that's what you want in a leader. But I've seen him make a change in Albany that when I went back in my time as mayor, coming to Albany to lobby and spend time here, you didn't have the unanimity of support on issues. What he has done is brought people together, Democrats and Republicans on some issues. He has made government work, and he's made it. You know, he's a leader. He's strong. But I'll tell you what, the governor is one, and I think toughness. Those who talk tough and talk, you know, I always find that talk is cheap. You could talk tough all you want. Those who are tough and are strong, they don't have to act it. They don't have to threaten it. They don't have to point fingers. I think people realize they're strong. And anyone that knows Governor Cuomo knows he's strong. He's principled. But there is not this, there's not intimidation, finger pointing. Government is something where, you know, you have to certainly let your positions be known. You have to, have the courage and strength of your principles to stand up for things. But look at some of the controversial legislation that's passed, you know, marriage equality being one.
Okay, I want to stop you right there because I wanted to ask you that before I let you get away.
Oh, sure.
And that is, the governor made it clear that he would be helpful. I thought he made it clear to those Republicans who were running in for the Senate that if they voted the way that the progressive way, in this case, something I certainly support, he would be helpful to them. Now, we find in these Republican primaries that at least two of them have really had a major problem as a result of this. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, in terms of being helpful, the governor has never held back praise of people that had the courage to stand up for that vote. Mm-hmm. And the vote that didn't pass in the past, but passed last year and was historic. What I find, and Alan, I'll tell you the truth, when elected officials stand up for what they believe in and take that position, I think that's what you want in politics, an elected official. Governor did it by saying this is important. He could have picked a lot of issues that were far less polarizing than marriage equality, but it's the right thing. It was about civil rights. It was about doing the right thing for the state and people that were affected by it in the state. And he stood up and he really shepherded that process through. Four Republicans stood up. The sad thing is that if they lose based on that one vote, I'm here to tell you that what I would think the question you should ask is how many elected officials out there who take a position they don't believe in? And I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard from elected officials, Republicans and even Democrats in the past who opposed it, who will tell you they do support it. They have nothing against it, but they feel they would not be reelected if they supported it.
So these were profiles in courage.
To me, it's courage. And if I'm an electorate, I may disagree with somebody on an issue here or there. I want somebody who is principled, who is honest, who will represent me. And they may support something I may agree or disagree with. But in the long run, those are the people you want in office, not those who gauge the direction of the wind on every issue to see, what the direction they have to go in. The governor does not poll, and I'll speak for Governor Cuomo, does not take a poll to figure out where he's going. He knows where he's going. He says it very clearly. And in essence, the governor shaped the polls. I think by the virtue of fact, he had the courage to stand up and lead that effort. And what he did, which he does so well, he brought people together, people from the gay and lesbian community, advocates who fought for it in the past, but in many ways didn't really have what it took to get it over the finish line. And he made it happen. And I'll speak for my time as mayor. Long before this, I have written supporting marriage equality when I was a mayor in Rochester, when I was a delegate and a leader in a U.S. Conference of Mayors. I was a committee leader, brought a resolution through, unanimously passed, supporting it. And some of my closest friends back home are members of the clergy. And I could look them in the eye and say, this is what I believe in. It doesn't impact my faith, doesn't impact my faith or my view of faith. It is just a feeling that I had, and that's the way the governor feels. I mean, the governor has very strong feelings of his faith as well, but this was an issue of right and wrong, and I would hope that those who vote, again, vote for people that have the courage for their convictions and not those that you don't know where they really stand.
Well, I have to say, I agree with you about that. Our guest has been Robert Duffy, Lieutenant Governor of New York. Bob, thank you so much for coming in and spending all this time with us and answering some of the tough questions.
Alan, you are a legend. It's an honor to be here. I'm looking forward to coming back.
What kind of legend?
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.